He always told me, he said, don't treat the Bible like a sermon outline book. He said, don't go in there with a preconceived notion looking for something, you know. He said, God will give it to you. If you're faithful to read and you're faithful to study and you're faithful to pray over it, he said, God will give it to you. And a few weeks ago, God put this message on my heart, impressed upon my heart, and I believe it's what he wants me to preach tonight. And I pray and I hope it'll be a blessing, an encouragement to somebody in here this evening. And Isaiah chapter 6, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the Lord and said, or one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved with the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, until the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. And when they cast their leaves, so thy holy seed shall be in the substance thereof. And if the Lord will help me tonight for just a few moments, I'll promise I'll be as quick as I can. I like to preach on this thought, getting a good look at God. Amen. Getting a good look at God. Well, we read in those first four verses that Isaiah mentions, God reveals himself to Isaiah in a vision, and he reveals himself to this man. He's a prophet of God. This doesn't happen in today's day and age. This was a supernatural thing taking place that God did with his prophets, understand that. But Isaiah saw God. He saw God, and I believe here tonight, I believe that one of the reasons why the churches in America are in such shape that they're in is because they've taken their eyes off of God and they shifted their attention everywhere and anywhere else but Him. And what would be good for you tonight and what would be good for me tonight will be to get a fresh look at God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight, and God, we thank you for your good grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed to draw us nigh to him. Lord, I thank you tonight for the answered prayers and here in the service and the sweet testimonies. And God, how your Spirit has already moved in this place. And Lord, help me not to quench it. Lord, just get me out of the way, Lord. Use me as a vessel, Lord. Just help me to say what you want me to say, God, and help us to point people to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you help me to preach in this hour with power and with love and with a sound mind, and we'll give you all the thanks and the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I love this chapter of the book of Isaiah. I love the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. I love the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I love the 56th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 66th chapter of Isaiah. But perhaps not only in this book, but in all of the Bible, this is one of my favorite chapters. This is where God calls Isaiah for the work that he's set forth for him. There are so many preachers, there are so many missionaries, there are so many pastors, there are so many ministers and evangelists and people that have done great things for God that have been so convicted and driven into the service of God by this very passage of Scripture that we've just read. I believe there's power in it. Amen. I believe that there is a convicting message here tonight for the people of God concerning this sixth chapter of Isaiah and the look that Isaiah gets at God. And the first thing that I'd like to mention by way of introduction tonight is what we find in this vision that God shows him, that Isaiah himself was captivated. This is a captivating vision that he has. Look in the first four verses. I want you to really let this soak in and get a good look at what Isaiah is seeing here. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And he mentions King Uzziah, and the Bible says that God will set up kings and he will take down kings. Amen? Amen. Kings will be born, kings will be raised, they'll come to rule, they'll come to power, they'll be dethroned, and they'll die. It happens every day. But one constant remains the same. There is a holy God in heaven who is still on his throne. Amen. Me and Brother Larry were talking just before church about Election Day, and he was mentioning about the results and how many people from the GOP got into office. And he said, "But you know what? My hope's not in the GOP." Amen, Brother Larry. I agree with you 1,000%. My hope is not in any politician tonight. My hope is not in the Pope. Amen. My hope is not in any of you in here tonight. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself tonight. Amen. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." These are angels. These are angelic beings. These are spirits that we find. And them alone, if one of them were to pop up in here tonight in one of our church services, that alone would just shut us down, okay? That would captivate us. But that's not even the focus of Isaiah's. Amen. That's not even the focus of his attention. He said he sees these seraphims flying around him, and he makes note of what they're saying. Yeah. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy." And you know, man, this didn't come to me in my study. I swear I just got this just now. You know, many times where they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," it's mentioned three times. I never thought about it, Brother Larry. When you go into Revelation chapter number 4 and John got his vision of God, they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." I'm glad tonight that he is a thrice holy God, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, who are co-eternal, co-existent, hallelujah, co-equal. He is a thrice holy God.
Amen.
"Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Understand tonight that if we're going to get a good look at God, it is going to be a captivating look. And you and I might not see the Lord Jesus with our own visible eyes on this earth until God calls us up into glory, and we might not see a physical manifestation of the presence of God. But I'm glad tonight that we as believers have the Holy Ghost of God in our heart, and God can do things, and God can answer prayers, and God can do things in our life, and we can step back, Brother Larry, and say, "God, that was all God. That was the hand of God moving in that situation. We can't give credit to any man. But it's all about God." We can see God in our lives, and it can captivate us. God can do things, and we can step back and say, "I never thought that that was possible. I never understood how that could be. I never thought that prayer was going to get answered, but hallelujah, God did it." It captivates our hearts and our minds. We obsess over it. We rejoice in the Lord day and night over what He's done. We get a good, fresh look at God. I'm thankful for those times like that, that He moves in our lives. Amen. Speak about looking at God in Exodus chapter number 33. Went up on Mount Sinai, Moses was led of the Spirit up on that mountain. God told Moses to go up and get away, and God gave him those tables of stone that he wrote with his own hand. And Moses cried out to God, and he said, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord said, "If I show you my glory, it'll kill you." He said, "But what I'll do is," he said, "I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock, and I'm going to pass by." And he said, "I'll pass by so that you might just look upon the hinder parts." Amen. "And simply the glory that radiates from it will be enough for you." Amen. And Moses, came off of that mountain a different man. They had to put a veil over Moses' face. They couldn't even look him in the eyes because they could tell. His face shone with the radiation of God's glory.
That's exactly right.
My friend, you set your face as a sweeping flint towards God and you want revival in your heart and you cry out to God and say, God, show me your glory. And God just so happens to move in a special way and He does what you ask of Him. My friend, it will change you. Amen? And here's the thing. You won't have to tell people about it. They're going to know. They're going to know there's something different about you. Amen? Brother Tommy, when you go back to Costa Rica, you ain't going to have to tell everybody how you got saved. They're going to know about it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's Exodus chapter number 33 and Luke chapter number 2. The Bible tells us of a man named Simeon. And the Holy Ghost told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord. And he got in that temple when Joseph and Mary, they were faithful parents, and they brought that baby Jesus to the temple. And Simeon saw him and he knew there was something different about him. Amen. You know, I've heard testimonies of Hindu people that worship gods, and they have a god in the sun and a god in the grass and a god in the cows, and everything's reincarnated and there's God. God is everywhere and He's everything. And I've heard testimony of Buddhist people who say, God is, you're a god and He's a god and everything is God. And I've heard testimonies of Islamic people which would say that their God is the God of the Quran and the God of Muhammad and all these things. But when they hear the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, something sets that man, something sets that name apart from every other name. They say there was something different about him, amen? And Simeon was in the temple and there were many babies. I imagine that so many babies were born that year, they might have been in a line. Everybody had their babies. They might have had their baby girls over here and their boys over here, and they were taking them to the priest to have them blessed. But Simeon got in there and nobody had to tell him which one was Jesus. He said, that's the one. He said, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. He said, I'm at peace. I can die. He said, I have everything I need. Friend, if you get a good look at God tonight, it's going to be everything that you need. We go a little bit further. Matthew chapter number 17. Jesus takes those disciples, those faithful few. He takes Peter, James, and John up on that mountain. And they fall asleep. They're tired. He takes them way back up on top of that mountain in the woods. And they're asleep. But the Bible tells us from the gospel account of Matthew in chapter 17 that when they wake up, they see something captivating. They see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made in the likeness of men, as the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter number 2. They see the glory of God that was robed in flesh, outwardly transfigured before them, and the Lord Jesus Christ stands on top of that mountain in front of Peter, James, and John as His witnesses with Moses and Elijah. And the Bible said that they spoke of the things which were to come. They spoke of the things that were going to happen in Jerusalem at the Passover. They were talking about the cross. Amen?
Amen.
And it changed something in those men. It changed something in Peter, James, and John.
Amen.
They came down off of that mountain, and Peter, he besought the Lord and he said, Lord, he said, let us make a temple. He said, let us make a sanctuary. He said, we'll make one for you. We'll make one for Moses. We'll make one for Elijah. He said, it is good for us to be here. Amen. The Lord said, tell no man the things which I have seen after that which is accomplished is done.
That's exactly it.
Amen. These people saw the glory of God. They got a good look at God. And I'm not telling you here tonight that if you go home and get in your prayer closet and bend a knee that God is going to physically appear before you. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if you cry out to God and you seek His face and you earnestly with every fiber of your being desire to see God, He'll show Himself to you.
Amen.
In your life, in your daily walk, there'll be something different about it. Amen. Isaiah's vision that he was given right here in chapter number 6, he was captivated. Amen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the next phrase that the Hebrew writer uses, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know why he said that? Because you and I can't do this work for God on our own. We can't do this work for God if Jesus is on the back burner, if Jesus is second, he's second fiddle, so to say. We can't do this unless Jesus has the preeminence in our life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's got to be number one. Number one in our lives. If we're going to see Him. If you get a good look at God and you're captivated by the Spirit of God, amen, you're going to make Him number one in your life. Not only do we see that Isaiah was captivated. I'm moving along. We see that Isaiah was convicted. Amen. Just like Miss Amanda mentioned in her testimony before we got to preaching tonight, she said, you know, God shows us how unclean we are. Brother Brian McBride said, no man has ever gotten a good look at Jesus and left impressed with himself.
Amen to that. Amen.
My friend tonight, if your standard is the preacher, and if it's this preacher, you're in a world of trouble, okay? But if it's the preacher or the evangelist, you're coming short.
Amen.
If it's a mere man that walks this earth, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
He is our standard, amen?
Amen?
Isaiah got in the presence of God and he got a good look at God. And look what the Bible says in verse number 5. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. So many times, probably the most quoted verse in this passage of Scripture is chapter number 8, or verse number 8, where Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. But before Isaiah ever got to here am I, Lord, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Not only was he convicted of himself, amen. You get a good look at God. You get a good look at Jesus. You get to reading this Bible and you find Jesus on every page. It's going to show you just how filthy your heart is. It's going to show you just how wicked and depraved and without God we truly are. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He was convicted of self, but he was convicted of his surroundings. He said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to see wrong with this world, the more you're going to realize how wicked it is, and that the devil truly is the prince and the power of the air, and you're not going to feel at home. Amen. It's like the songwriter said, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It's just like we preached on Sunday morning in the 107th Psalm, how God will deliver us and bring us to that resting place one day. We yearn for that place called heaven. Hallelujah, because that's where Jesus is.
Amen.
And you get a good look at God, you're going to be convicted of just how wicked and how terrible and how godless this world in which we live is. He was convicted. Amen. Not only was he convicted, he was cleansed. He was cleansed. Look with me what the Bible says in verse number 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. We're back to talking about the angels. We're back to talking about, you know, visual things. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I will not stand in the pulpit tonight and pretend to be smarter than I am and try to explain away the supernatural symbolism behind what this angel did with Isaiah, okay? Because I can't explain it, amen? Somebody tells you they got every page of this book figured out and they got it all learned, my friend, I ain't going to listen to a thing they got to say. Unsearchable depths are in this book. But I do know this. In order for Isaiah to be cleansed, in order for Isaiah to be made ready for the task that God had for him, it took a super natural act.
Good.
You know why so many people today find themselves in a world of hurt is because they depend on religion.
Amen.
They depend on sacraments. They depend on this. They depend on that. They depend on the things that they can do in their flesh to please God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen? Every victory you have in your life is going to be a victory taken by faith. Isaiah was cleansed, and it took a supernatural act. Amen? You say, preacher, how can I get a good look at God? How can I be cleansed the way that Isaiah was cleansed? You want to get a good look at God? You need go no further than the King James Bible, my friend. He's on every single page. It doesn't matter if you're in those genealogies. It doesn't matter if you're in Genesis 1 or back in Revelation 22. There is a scarlet thread that is woven throughout every fiber of this this unimaginably perfect unfolding drama of redemption that will always lead you back to the cross of Calvary.
Thank you. Amen.
It cleanses us. God was talking about the church in Ephesians chapter number 5, and He said this. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Amen.
Amen.
There have been sometimes, I like to go out and ride four-wheelers and get muddy and do all that kind of stuff. I like to play football. I'm an outdoor kind of person at heart. And there'd be some times that I get home and I have mud caked all the way flat in my ears, and I'd be just so dirty. And I'd go home and I'd take a shower, and I get out of the shower and I think, man, I still feel dirty. But I'm cleaner than I was before I got in there, amen. And there might be Wednesday nights you leave and you think, man, that preaching didn't really help me all that much. Nothing really specifically stood out to me. And there'll be nights when your eyelids are heavy and you're tired and you think, man, I haven't read my Bible like I should today. I'll read it, but I really don't think I'm going to get anything out of it. My friend, it is cleansing you. It is making you holy. Whether you know it or not, or whether you understand it or not, God is hiding that word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. And it is making a change in your life. Amen. Isaiah was cleansed. It takes a supernatural act in order for us to get to a place where God can use us, where He can cleanse us, where He can make us holy, where He can conform us to the image of His Son. It takes a supernatural book. Amen. I don't believe the Bible because somebody told me to believe it. I believe the Bible because it's true. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. God has to do that work. I can't save anybody in here tonight. If I thought it was baptism that saved you tonight,
amen.
Me and Larry had that baptistry filled up, and you could not stop us from dunking you in that water, no matter what, okay? If I thought it was your money that would get you to heaven, I would pick every single one of your pockets and put it in the offering plate, okay? It's a supernatural act of God.
Amen.
You know what happened yesterday afternoon at that kitchen table on Ray Drive?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God paid a visit to that house and began to work on that man's heart. And we were talking about the Bible, and we were looking at the Scriptures, and he said, I've never heard it said like this. I've never heard it explained quite like that. And God flipped that switch, and he prayed, and he asked God to save him. Amen. That was a supernatural act of God that cleanses us. And after we're saved, God commands us to be holy and to live lives that are separated and pleasing to Him. And we can't do that without this book.
Amen.
There's no hope for us to live a life that's pleasing to God without this book right here. D.L. Moody said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. That's your only option tonight, Christian.
Amen.
You're going to stick with the Bible, or you're going to stick with whatever else. Amen? Isaiah was cleansed. And lastly, I'll finish with this thought. He was commissioned.
Yes, he was.
He was commissioned. Verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, try not to be real rash in the pulpit, I guess, but the only person in here tonight that I know for sure is saved is me.
Right.
The only person in here tonight that you know for sure is saved is you, okay? All I'm saying is if you got what I got, and you're John 3:3 born again, you're going to want to do something for God. Isaiah just went through this supernatural experience. He'd just been convicted of his sins. He saw himself a sinner. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. And a supernatural act took place, and he said, thy sins are purged, thy iniquity is taken away. And he's just seen the glory of the Lord. He's been captivated by the glory of the Lord. And the Lord didn't have to beat on Isaiah's heart. The Lord didn't have to call him and call him and call him. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Here, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I. Send me.
Amen.
I've said it so many times in here, church. God's got something for everybody in the church to do.
Amen.
The book of Ephesians tells us about the church positionally, and it tells us that every part works together.
Amen.
To build up the body of Christ, that it might be built up into that perfect man. Amen. It's going to be awful hard to run a race if you've got a bum leg. It would be hard to carry something for somebody if your arms aren't wanting to work. Amen? And so many times, parts of the churches will die off. I'm telling you, church, it takes everybody.
Amen.
My job as the pastor of this church is no more important than your job as a member of this church, okay?
Amen.
It takes everybody in this place laboring and praying and exhorting. It takes everybody in this place to build something for the glory of God.
Amen.
It's just up to you. When God says, who can I send? Who's going to go? Amen. Mm-hmm. Who's going to knock on them doors? Who's going to sweep that carpet? Who's going to cut that grass? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's going to pray for the preacher? Who's going to pray through the prayer list every single day? Who's going to do these things? It's up for us to say, here am I, Lord. Send me.
Amen.
I mentioned before I got to preaching, today was the day 4 years ago I surrendered to the call to preach. And I remember in March, 3 months before that, that I went out on my back porch and I prayed to God. I just got clean with God. I told Him I was sorry for the way I've been living. I was sorry for all the wickedness I'd done. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what You would want with anybody like me. I don't understand why, but I'm here for You to use me to do whatever You want. And I prayed and I asked God that as long as He would give me breath in these lungs, that He would put me where He wanted me to be, doing what He wanted me to do. Amen? Before you surrender to a specific call in your life, you got to surrender to everything. Amen? Say, Lord, what will You have me to do? And I promise you, God will commission you to do something. God has a job for you. God didn't save you just to sit in a pew. Amen?
Right. Amen?
God saved you to serve Him. And you might think, well, preacher, my job's not as important as this job. My job, people aren't getting saved by me sweeping the floors. Or people aren't getting saved by me getting the mail out of the mailbox. And people aren't getting saved by me holding the doors open. My friend, you are doing so much more than you could ever imagine. Just laboring together, bringing that sweet spirit into these services. If we would get together in unity and serve God as a church, as a whole, and make up our minds, say, God, here we are. Send us. Use us. Call us. I want God to look at this church and say, I trust those folk.
Amen.
I have a job for them. I've got people that are unsaved that need to be saved, and I'm going to trust this church, Crossroads Baptist Church, to do my work. That's what I desire for this church.
Amen.
That God would look at our hearts and say, there's some people who are willing to work. There's some people who are willing to go.
Amen.
We talked about it Saturday night when we had our prayer meeting. We get together and we pray for revival. And so many people, they say, I want revival, but they don't want Bible revival. My people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Get a good look at God. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
That's exactly it.
David Livingston, as a young boy, he prayed a prayer to God. And I can't quote him exactly, but I know that it was something like this. He said, God, break every chain, break every fetter, break every tie that doesn't bond me to you. He said, take away all these desires, all this vanity. He said, I only want you. David in the 27th Psalm in the 4th verse said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple all of my days. Amen. He said, the only thing I want is you, God. And church, tonight, if we get a fresh look at God, He's going to be the only thing that we desire. It's going to convict us. Amen. It's going to cleanse us. It's going to commission us. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder how many there be in the church tonight that'd be willing to come and humble yourselves and kneel on an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want a fresh look at you. God, I want that fresh oil. God, I want you to do something in my life, and I want it to be real. I want it to be fresh. God, I want to get a good look at you. God, I want you to challenge me. God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to set me up and build me into somebody that can be used for your glory that I never thought I could be. If that's you in here tonight, I beg you, just come to the altar and get a hold of God. He's listening tonight. There might be one in here tonight that say, preacher, I believe all that you preach, but I'm not even sure I've ever been saved. I'm not sure if I died, heaven would be my home. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? Nobody looking at me. Say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Church, I wonder if you're in here tonight and you just slip up your hand as a word of testimony and say, preacher, I remember the day, I remember the time and the place where I bowed my head and I called on the name of the Lord and I got saved. If that's you, will you raise your hand tonight? Nobody looking but me. Say, preacher, I know the day that I got saved. I remember it. Would you raise your hand? God bless those hands. God saved you. He's called you for a purpose. God has something for you tonight. Don't let the devil tell you tonight that God can't use you. Don't let the devil tell you tonight that you're too small, that you're too insignificant, that you don't mean nothing to God. Let me tell you something, friend. God has something miraculous for you. And if you'll ask God to show Himself to you, and you'll ask God, say, God, show me Thy glory, just like Moses did in Exodus 33. Say, God, show me your glory. I believe He'll do that. He'll manifest Himself to you in your life and in actions and in things and experiences that you could never explain, that you could only attribute to God. God can do that tonight. help us. God bless you, Brother Larry.